It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Monday to all of you. And thank you for listening. Each of you are treasured, valued. You have a purpose. Live with intention today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all that you do. It is a Monday. We've got a lot of work to do, producer Steve.
Yes, some of us are present in body only.
I'm going to
start a petition that says we will have 5 days off and work 2 days. What do you think?
There's too much to do. You can't do that. We've got too much to do. This republic is in a very precarious situation right now. So we have a lot of work to do as we engage in this battle of ideas, Steve. So we work really hard on this, and maybe you'll get your wish here at some point in time in the future, but not today, okay?
It's called retirement, but no, I'm not dropping any hints.
You better not be. You are such an important member of this team. So go to my website, kimmunson.com, and the recaps of all of our shows are there. And we are in a major upgrade right now with the website and also with the weekly newsletter. And be patient with us. We're a little behind on the recaps because there's all these different steps as we are going through this. But it is really, really going to be a great upgrade, Steve. And it's just going to require a little bit of patience on everybody's part. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we appreciate your contributions. Thank you to all of you. We are an independent voice, and your support and our sponsors keep us independent. And I greatly appreciate that. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll go through some headlines. And we had Casper Stockham on the show on Friday. He has thrown his hat in the ring for a state GOP chair. Today, Christy Burton Brown will join us, and she is a candidate for the Colorado State GOP chair. And any candidate that reaches out to me, I certainly will put on the show, because if they reach out to me, I'd like for you to get to know them as well. And we'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And then Patrick Moore. I'm so excited to have another conversation with him. It's been a little while. He is a Greenpeace co-founder. He is now the Sensible Environmentalist. He has a new book out. It's called Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And apparently he's been losing followers. They've been stripping him of his followers on social media. And I want to talk with him about Texas and the deep freeze that happened down there. There is a mess in Texas right now, for sure. And we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And Steve, let's jump over here to our quote. I thought about preparation with what happened down in Texas. I was looking for preparation quotes, and Benjamin Franklin is the one that came up. And you know him. Franklin was a founding father, a polymath, inventor, scientist, printer, politician, Freemason, and diplomat. He helped draft the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. And in 1783, he negotiated the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. His scientific pursuits included investigations into electricity, mathematics, and map making. A writer known for his wit and wisdom, Franklin also published Poor Richard's Almanac. He invented bifocal glasses and organized the first successful lending library. He was born in 1706. He died in 1790. And tell me, Steve, have you not heard this before? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Again, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And sometimes we forget that just preparing a little bit can make life a lot simpler down the road.
I had a chuckle because my first thought is, what, as citizens of this country, and at least, well, any level of government, I guess, but it's the pound of cure that hurts.
Well, think about how much this is going to cost down in Texas with all of the damage and just what it's done to their economy. And just think, if they had made sure that they were prepared for this with the proper energy sources, it would make it a lot easier. And people have died because of this, Steve.
Well, I don't want to steal anything from the second half of the show or what you guys are going to discuss, but in the package that Patty sent over, it's just incredible. The comedy of errors, I guess, if you want to call it that, or the perfect storm, whatever, you know, cliche you want to throw at it. And at one point they said, well, Rick Perry is not a electrical engineer, so therefore blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, that might be the crux of the problem. You know, it is too many times in political maneuverings, they don't bring in an expert. Or if the expert says something they don't like, they discount it. And so many of these things in Texas could have been avoided, irregardless of the weather.
It really could have. And we see it. Colorado has really been the petri dish, though, for all of these different really radical regressive policies. And we're seeing, this push to put Colorado totally on renewables by, the different years. But anyway, to put us on totally renewable energy. It's a lot colder here than it is in Texas. I'm hoping that we in Colorado are paying attention to what is occurring here. And I've heard some people say, well, one of the problems is people in Texas don't insulate their pipes and all. Well, but you don't have to insulate your pipes if you had energy. If you had reliable, abundant, affordable, and efficient energy, then that wouldn't be a problem. And there's no way you could insulate your pipes enough to alleviate this problem. The problem was the lack of energy. And I feel that that's probably a narrative out there that's going to be pushed by the left as well. People should have been insulating their homes more. No, we should not be putting in policies that restrict abundant energy and reliable energy, Steve.
Well, again, I have to go back and read these things two and three times to absorb the brunt of it. It's just, like I said, a comedy of errors. And what gave out first? Well, at this point, it doesn't really matter, because you didn't have any redundancies built into it, any mm-hmm. backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True that. So, hey, let's go through just a couple of headlines. Now that the legislature is back in session, Patty's going to be putting on the outline a bill of the day. And this is House Bill 21-1006, and it's a fifth-day school enrichment programs funding. And they have a safety clause in it, and the safety clause is something that, if it is put on the end of a piece of legislation, and it means that we cannot actually review that as voters in Colorado. Actually, if there's no safety clause, ultimately that could go to the voters for approval. But I think it also means that it immediately goes into law. And what it is, this is it. It says, it's a bill that creates a fifth-day academic enrichment and support grant program to award grants on a three-year cycle to one or more eligible community-based nonprofit organizations to provide supplemental indoctrination programs to full-day kindergarten through high school-age kids on the fifth day of the week for children in schools that have a four-day school week. Now, wait a minute. Aren't we, as taxpayers, we valued education, but we, what has happened is there's a lot of indoctrination going on in education these days. But we also, I think, we as taxpayers are paying for a five-day school week. Now, with the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, it's been really tough on the kids. It's been really tough on the teachers. It's been really tough on the parents. But I think we need to get back to what we, the voters, are paying for, and that is a five-day school week. And so now we, as you mentioned, Steve, will there be a reduction in your taxes if in fact kids are going to school 4 days? And then it looks like they're probably going to go up because they're going to use money from the general fund for this.
I I'm busily reading, trying to follow you in the text that you're reading. The word indoctrination is actually in there. I can't believe that they would include that in the bill. I mean, you want to draw a lot of fire from people, put in the word like indoctrination.
I know it. But that is what is happening in a lot of education these days. And so it's just taking, it's just crazy, taking our money, Americans' money, to indoctrinate kids to not like America. And something really interesting, I was watching television last night. I like to watch Levin.
You?
And I watched Levin, and he did a really beautiful tribute to Rush Limbaugh. And then I also like Steve Hilton typically afterwards. But there were all of these advertisements for Ancestry.com. And I know a lot of young people, a lot of people are really interested in their ancestors. And the commercial had a bunch of younger people that were checking out their ancestors. And then there was also a mom talking about her children and her ancestors. And there's so many people that are so interested in that. But then I'm thinking many of these same young people have not developed this appreciation or this love to find out about America, our ancestors, our history. And here we are standing by this last summer and letting statues be torn down, names of schools are being changed, wiping out those ancestors, if you will. And then here's this business that seems to be thriving of people trying to find out who their ancestors are. I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think you're spot on. I mean, and again, we can be so. What's the deal with the tell you about a magician? While he's trying to wow you with this hand, watch what his other hand is doing. And I think this is kind of has a tie to it, to what you just said. It's like we are so fascinated by our own family lineage, but again, have no idea how the country got here. And, you know, what was the premise for it, and what caused the situation to come about in the first place, in terms of how awkward it was living under the English tyrant, the king.
Yeah, I know. And I just find it crazy that people are so interested in ancestry, which is cool, but yet we are not really checking the ancestry about our country right now in our education system. And as I mentioned, it's I think a lot of the indoctrination that's going on in our education system. And here it looks like they're going to want to they've shortened the school week because of public policy, and then now they want to spend money and give money to nonprofits that are not as accountable to parents as teachers are, and to nonprofits to educate that fifth day. So with that, we will be doing our Bill of the Day, and that is one. Buckle your seatbelt, because there's a lot that's being proposed down there at the State House. Let's go to break, though. And before we do that, I've got the girls coming over on Wednesday night, and I will be ordering some of those great smoked wings from Hooters restaurants. I love the Texas barbecue rub, and they are delicious. They're like candy. And go to my website, that is kimmunson.com, and click on the sponsors and also the Hooters landing page, and it has all of their specials. They have to-go specials. They have lunch specials. Kids eat free specials, all kinds of fun stuff going on over there. So go to my website, that's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com, for all of those specials, and treat yourself with dropping by to pick up some Hooters wings tonight. So talk to your friends about Hooters restaurants. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Christy Burton Brown.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am pleased to have on the line with me Christy Burton Brown. She has thrown her hat in the ring for Colorado State GOP chair. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good to be with you.
Colorado, the Republican Party, there's a lot going on right now. Why on earth would you throw your hat in the ring for this?
Well, you're right. There's a lot going on, but I think there's a lot we can do. I have been vice chairman for the last 2 years and kind of gotten to see the inside of the state party without having the ability to make decisions as vice chairman. But I know what we did right in 2020, but I also know what went wrong. I know where the holes are. I know what to fix. And I've just had so many relationships around the state with our county chairs, our volunteers, and grassroots activists. And I think together there's a lot of things we can do differently to change things here in Colorado.
Christy, it seems that there's a big schism between the establishment consultant portion of the Republican Party and the grassroots. How can you bring those two things together?
Well, you know, you're right. There's a lot of names and terms thrown around on people, some of them absolutely legit, and some of them not so much. Some of them, I think, is perception of which part people, you know, are on, which side, which wing, which faction. And I think a lot of that, you know, works to internally destroy our party when we have a disagreement and we're always calling someone else in the party, you know, with a particular label. Again, sometimes it's completely deserved, but sometimes it's not. And what I've gotten to see for the last 2 years is really build bridges between people in multiple wings and factions of the party, build relationships. And I think, you know, obviously using too many consultants is never a good answer for the party. That's certainly gotten us in trouble in the past. It is about relying on the people, the grassroots, our county officers, our grassroots, and our volunteers. But I have a unique opportunity because I've built relationships between these wings and bridges, between the factions of the party, and I can bring people together and help us unify and play as one committed team. That's what we've got to do if we're going to win again.
Christy, something that's been frustrating for me to watch is to see people step forward and run for office because they see that they don't like the direction of the state or the country. And they have stepped forward and thrown their hat in the ring, and it's almost like deer in the headlights. And the other side, with the Emerge program that they have, which is basically training women to run for office as a Democrat and win, but many of those women have almost Marxist policies, but they train them, they set them up with the donors, and they have websites. And on our side, it's been difficult for them to get, for a candidate to get money in some of these races that we haven't won in many years because it's just said that, oh, they can't win. Well, obviously you can't win if you don't have any resources and support. How would you fix that?
Right. Well, you're right. Emerge has been effective for the Democrats. And what's interesting about it is that it's actually a program outside of their state party. And the reason for that is because it's much easier to fund candidate training programs through soft dollars. Colorado has really complicated campaign finance laws, very restrictive laws that apply to state parties. But when you raise the money into third-party groups outside of the state party in soft dollars, you can raise a lot. And that's what the Democrats have figured out how to do. What I believe the next state party chair needs to do is build a collaboration with effective allied organizations around the state, some of whom focus on candidate training. The state party should you know, promote those kind of resources and training programs and work hand in hand with them as we can and give these kind of resources to our candidates. Give lists of, hey, if you need a website built, here's who can do it. If you want to fundraise, the state chairman should offer to host fundraisers with our legislative candidates in their districts. We should also recommend that our donors, once they've maxed out to the state party, give them a list of these legislative candidates who need their help. And, of course, with redistricting, we can really target, of course, the most money to most competitive races. But I do believe every candidate who puts their name in the ring, who wins their primary for the Republican Party, should get financial support from the party and should absolutely become a part of this resource-laden network that we pass on to our candidates, because certainly Democrats aren't the only ones with mentors and fundraisers and trainers. We have them, too, but we've got to connect our candidates to them.
Okay, next question, Christy. I served on city council for 4 years, and I was under the impression that if you had an R behind your name, a Republican, that you would be interested in lowering taxes and have limited government. But that is not the case. In fact, it was, I think, in our packet last week of our headlines that they're kicking around down at the legislature a new gas fee on our fuel at the pump. And they're calling it a fee and not a tax because under Tabor, if they increase taxes, they have to ask us. The other thing that's very sneaky about this is they're proposing to put this in an existing enterprise organization, which is, since it's existing, that means that it would not fall under this new initiative that passed on the ballot this last election season that said that any fee that raises more than $100 million over 5 years has to be voted on by the people. So it's very, very sneaky. But unfortunately, I'm seeing Republican operatives' hands on this. And raising taxes on fuel is going to hurt everyday people as they're driving around on their life, going to work and taking their kids to school, just their regular lives. Also, our farmers, our ranchers, our businesses. And it's frustrating for me when I see Republicans that are actually advocating for bigger government and higher taxes. Is there something you can do about that as a state chair?
Well, it's extremely frustrating. And yes, the state chair and the state party can take positions on bills coming through the legislature, on ballot initiatives. And in my view, we should. I used to work in policy in the legislature. I've helped, you know, on a couple ballot initiatives. I actually have done a ton of work, candidates' ballot initiatives, all before I came to the party. So I know what a lot of these things look like, kind of have a 360 view of the different operations that are needed in a state to help and build the conservative movement. But yeah, I mean, really, Republicans shouldn't be supporting a fee, a tax that's going to hurt the backs of our working class people. That's what our party has become, the one that represents the working class people, you know, families like the one I grew up in. And yeah, I've had conversations about this bill with people, and most Republican leaders are very disappointed in it, disagree with it, definitely think it's an end run by the Democrats, trying to, you know, go against the will of the voters who clearly spoke in 2020 that they should have a choice on fees, which are just taxes by another name. And
right,
they're just trying to go around the people by, you know, pulling it into an already current enterprise. That's ridiculous, but it's what they do. And we've got to call them out for it. The state party can help be a bully pulpit, bring down the hammer on the Democrats when they try to destroy the will of the people.
And we've got just a minute or so left, Christy. It's a competitive race for Colorado State GOP chair. What is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
There's so much we have to do as a state party. And one of the biggest things I think we have to do is build a collaborative network between our county parties, the state party, our grassroots activists and volunteers, our elected officials, and our candidates. And I can do that because I have built relationships over the last 2 years as vice chairman. I know the people who are currently involved in that work. I can lead because I have a 360 view of everything that goes on in our state and all the operations that make conservatives and Republicans successful. We have to fundraise. We have to recruit diverse candidates. And we have to unify our party. I am the leader that can do that. I'm excited to take the helm of the state party and bring us into 2022 with some victories.
And do you have a website? How can people get more information about you?
Yeah, people can actually go to coloradokbv.com/endorsements and see all of the people that are talking about the race and why a lot of our leaders around the state are endorsing me in the race for chair.
Okay, Christy Burton Brown, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good to be with you, Kim. Thank you.
Okay. And Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. It is a Monday. There's a lot going on out there. What about the markets?
Well, the markets look, Kim, like they're going to start off with kind of a rough day. Friday was pretty quiet, but markets were up early and then gave up most of the gains throughout the day to close right at the lows, which, you know, I guess mentally or effectively on the market kind of has somewhat of the same effect as a down day. Now this morning, it looks like the futures are in pretty rough shape. The Dow futures are down 200. NASDAQ futures are also down almost 200 points. So it looks like we're going to get kind of a rough open, but we'll see what happens by the end of the day. As you know, things can change.
Well, they certainly can. And with the market at these highs, I think it may make sense for people to, well, it does make sense to sit down with you and talk about portfolio mix, what their goals are. Cash, even though there's not much of a yield on cash, sometimes that can be a good thing. And I'd recommend that people sit down and talk with you about their portfolio and just have another set of eyes on that, Jason.
Well, Kim, you make a good point. You know, you don't get much yield on cash, but sometimes zero is the best number you can have if you're worried about the market going backwards, which more and more people that I talk to are concerned about that. Now, nobody can predict the future, but again, you know, if you're worried about taking losses, then getting a zero is better than a negative number. And I agree with you. It's worth at least considering peeling off some gains and thinking about something safer, even if that's only cash.
And how can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Real easy, Kim. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Patrick Moore. He is a co-founder of Greenpeace. He's now the Sensible Environmentalist, and he's got a new book out, and I want to talk with him about Texas. So stay tuned. It will be a very interesting conversation.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Do be a little patient with us. We are upgrading our email newsletter server as well as our web host. So be just a little patient with us. It's going to be awesome, though, when it's all done. On the line with me is Patrick Moore. He is a co-founder of Greenpeace. He's now the Sensible Environmentalist. His latest book, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, is just out. And I wanted to talk with him about his new book and also what happened in Texas. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's good to be with you.
Great to have you. Let's talk first of all about your new book. It is very interesting. And I actually read a synopsis on it, and it is very difficult for people to fight back on something that's invisible. So tell us about the book.
Well, the reason for the title, Kim, is Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. I've studied environment all my life, spent 15 years in the leadership of Greenpeace long ago, and have just kept up with the whole thing and never realized until just recently that nearly all the scare stories that we are told on a daily basis in the media are based on things that are either invisible like carbon dioxide, which is accused of so many sins, and radiation, for example, and the whole nuclear industry, or remote, such as coral reefs and polar bears. And, of course, anything that's in the future is remote because it hasn't even happened yet. And all the scare stories are based on those things. That means that the average person cannot observe and verify for themselves with their own eyes the situation that they're being told is happening. It's invisible or somewhere that they can't go. Who can go to the Arctic and count the polar bears or go to the Great Barrier Reef? It's twice the size of Texas, and see whether it's healthy or not. And therefore, we depend on the media, the activists, the politicians, and the scientists on serial government grants to tell us the truth about these things. And they're the ones with the skin in the game to make us believe this so that we're afraid, and it gets media and it makes money. And trillions of dollars are involved in this if you count the alternative energy like wind and solar, which is totally based on the scare that the climate is going to get so bad it's going to be too hot for life in 10 years, which is a complete scam. And that's what the book's about. And it has 12 chapters on 12 different examples from, as I mentioned, nuclear energy, but also the whole scare about plastic in the ocean is completely fake. There is no Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It doesn't exist. And the reason people can be talked into believing it is because it's thousands of miles at sea where no one can see it or verify it for themselves. And everybody believes this. They believe that plastic is toxic, for example. That's why we wrap our food in it. No, it's because it's not toxic that we wrap our food in it. So it's 12 chapters on 12 different subjects, and climate change is the biggest chapter because it's the biggest scare story right now. And I basically take people through all these issues and show them that they are being led down a garden path and that they and their children should not be afraid of the future in the way we're being told.
Patrick, in conversations on this, I recall being in conversations with college-age kids about the coral reef, about the polar bears, and I felt that they were being sold a bill of goods, but there's a lot of virtue signaling that goes on, and I didn't really have a good rebuttal on that. Will your book actually arm people to be able to engage in conversations about these issues? Because there's so much virtue signaling, and in a conversation, if it's invisible, it's remote, it's difficult to have a conversation about this if somebody truly believes all of the stuff that's happening on these different 12 subjects that you have.
Kim, yes, the book was written for that reason explicitly. I want parents to read this book, and they will realize that their high school and older children should read the book. It's written for a person with a good command of English, but you don't need to be a scientist to read it. If you go on Amazon.com and read the reviews of the book, you will see that nearly everybody makes that point, that it can be understood by non-scientists with no difficulty at all. It gives absolutely all the points anyone will need to rebut these ridiculous stories. For example, polar bears. How many people have heard that in 1973, because of warnings from wildlife biologists, all Arctic countries, including the United States, Canada, Norway, Denmark, and Russia, signed a treaty in 1973 to prevent the unrestricted hunting of polar bears, to ban the unrestricted hunting. It had become easy in the 70s to get on a plane, go to the Arctic, and hire an Inuit guide and get a few rugs for the front of your fireplace from killing some polar bears, and that population was declining. They stopped unrestricted hunting in all the countries of the polar region, and for that reason, the polar bear population has grown from somewhere around 10,000 in the whole Arctic at that time to at least 30,000 and perhaps as many as 40,000 today. This is one of the biggest conservation success stories of the 20th century, and they're telling us that the polar bears are going extinct. It's completely nonsense. And the Inuit people in Canada, I'm Canadian living on Vancouver Island, but I've been here all my life in this country and all over the world. And the Inuit people in Nunavut, which is Canada's territory in the high Arctic, where the polar bears live, had to pass recently a polar bear management plan because they weren't even allowed to protect themselves from the polar bears. They were considered so sacred. But people are being killed by the polar bears up there in the villages where these people live on Baffin Island and other islands in the Canadian Arctic, in tiny villages. And they are the ones who are there all year round. And these scientists from the Canadian government go up there for 2 weeks and come back and tell everybody that the polar bears are going extinct so they can get a grant for the next year to go up there for a couple of weeks. And when they passed the management plan, not one big newspaper or media outlet in Canada reported the fact, because they don't want people to know that the polar bears are healthy and doing really well in the Arctic. And there's plenty of literature on that fact, but it's all in science journals, and the mainstream media just keeps pounding the drum on the idea that the polar bears will go extinct if we don't stop driving our car or whatever.
Well, and you mentioned the word grant, government grant, and it took me a while to realize that there was really big money in this, that people were actually studying to write and to apply for grants. There was actually jobs to apply for grants, and realize that there's a real money tree that's going on with this. And that seems to be a real problem regarding these narratives as well, because they have figured out a way to get government grants to push their narratives. How can that be fixed?
Well, you're right. On one hand, they say the science is settled and that people who disagree with the climate catastrophe emergency are deniers, science deniers or climate deniers. Of course, we all who are studying this from an objective point of view realize that the climate has been changing all through the history of the Earth and all through the history of life. When I said that in a video, I said, the climate is always changing and it always will. I got fact-checked as misleading by saying that. And that's what's happening with this whole virtue signaling, fact-checking, cancel culturing thing that's going on right now, is it's getting hard to get the truth through to people because it gets blocked by Facebook or by Twitter or by who knows who these days, Google, the whole works of them are in on it. And so it's very difficult. But the fact is nearly all, quote, science, unquote, is funded by taxpayer money these days. It used to be that most science was done by the private sector, where they expect something useful might come of it. Today, the government is paying for fear, because that gives them a way to tell the public, I can save your grandchildren from certain death. Like you're driving down the road in your SUV, you're afraid you're killing your grandchildren. And that makes you guilty, feel guilty for doing that. So fear and guilt put together is in almost all of these scare stories. So that gets you to open your wallet and send Greenpeace or some of the other thousands of so-called charities that are sucking money out of people because they're afraid of the story that they're being told, whether it's about nuclear plants or that's why trillions of, I mean, the science itself is expensive. It's billions of dollars. But the wind and solar that's going around all over the world is trillions of dollars in the final analysis, and it's destroying our electricity system by making it unreliable and costing a lot more money to do so. It's a complete scam, and I've always said, ever since they started doing this, that those windmills and those solar panels on the grid, I mean, solar and wind off the grid are fine. If there's no electric wire coming to your house, you can use solar and sometimes wind. Usually solar's the idea, but you need batteries then. It's very expensive. But the only alternative would be a diesel or gas generator. But on the grid, you have coal, gas, and hydroelectric energy and nuclear energy. There's 96 nuclear plants running every day in the United States, providing reliable, clean power to the grid. And here we are building these ridiculous machines that don't work half the time, less than half the time, And Texas just found out what it's like, and California's found out, and so is Australia. And this is going to happen more and more as more of these machines are built. They should rust in place. They should not be built anymore because they're totally dependent on tax breaks, on subsidies, and on even mandates where the utilities are required by law to buy this energy when it's available. Thus, they have to shut down the other energies then, making them less cost-effective because they're not running as often. And that's the kind of scenario that has happened in Texas, where they allowed their backup from coal and nuclear to dwindle to such a low extent that it wasn't able to provide sufficient energy when the wind and solar failed. And the whole thing about gas failing, gas is not meant to be an on-demand source of energy in the sense that the gas is delivered to the machine on time, whereas coal and nuclear have fuel on site, fuel ready all the time to operate. They don't depend on a pipe for it to come instantly like natural gas does. But just the same, the wind and solar is what's responsible for this disruption in the first place.
Well, here in Colorado, we seem to be the petri dish for everything that the radical regressives are trying to push out, whether or not it's mail-in voting, just across the spectrum. But here in Colorado, we have legislators who are passing legislation and the governor signing it to try to make Colorado totally, quote-unquote, renewable soon. I can't remember which year it is exactly. And now with what we've seen happen in Texas, I think we, the people, need to step back and say, wait a minute, this is not going to work in Colorado. It's cold here a lot more of the time than it is in Texas. And I think we're out of our minds to be trying to do this and closing down clean coal plants here in Colorado. But they're actually trying to ramp that up and close them down sooner than initially expected, Patrick.
The people who are doing this not only are doing it out of political ideology of some twisted variety, but they have no clue about how the grid works and how electricity and energy are produced. The people who are producing the energy and controlling the grid are completely aghast at the way these situations are evolving. The idea that you could have totally wind and solar and no fossil fuels, and they don't want any nuclear either, and they don't say a lot about that like they do about fossil fuels, but basically the green movement is against burning things. They are against combustion altogether, and they're attacking the biomass sector as well, which uses waste wood from the forest industry to produce electricity in Vermont and a number of other states. Vermont gets something like 5% of all its electricity from burning waste wood. And then there's the municipal waste. That I don't know if you know, the Twin Cities has an airport with garbage receptacles in it that say waste to energy on them, energy from waste. And they have a big facility. This is also clean burning to use municipal waste that isn't suitable for recycling. All of Europe in the West has done this. Japan has done this. China's the biggest actually now in using municipal waste to make energy, but the Greens are against it, and they're against the biomass, and that's because those are reliable, running 24/7, and they're called alternative, so that means if they could get rid of biomass and municipal waste energy, then the wind and solar would be able to take over that market. But they can't because they're not reliable. The wind doesn't work when the wind isn't blowing, and the sun doesn't work at night ever. And in the day when it's cloudy, it doesn't work. So it's absolutely nuts to have depended upon these technologies to run our electrical system where we require 24/7 power. So what happens in countries that go for wind and solar in a big way, all of a sudden all the hospitals and many big businesses start installing huge diesel electric plants to back up during the blackouts, as if that's some kind of solution. Then you have smoke belching into the streets from these machines that are basically way more pollution than even a clean coal-burning huge plant. So we're going in such a wrong direction here in so many countries. And China, of course, is paying lip service to this. They build most of the solar panels. That's the joke in the president now saying that people can go from oil and gas into building solar panels. The solar panels are almost all being built in China, and they're doing it cheap. And then they sell them to us at a profit and get free ones for themselves out of that and showcase their own renewable energy to basically kind of suck us all into doing the same thing as they're doing. And they've got trillions of dollars in surplus wealth, most of it American dollars. And that's what's going on in the world today, is one giant scam on this wind and solar front.
Okay, Patrick Moore, we're going to go to break. We'll continue this conversation. It's a very important one because we've seen a real assault on Western civilization, the Western way of life, and people want to come to America because of this way of life here. And I want to ask Patrick about that. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. And just check out their website. It's castlegate.com. They have just a wide array of products there from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They're also going to be starting a sharpening business. They are adding in some custom rifles, and they have a lot of different watches. There's just a lot going on at Castlegate Knife and Tools. So be sure and check them out there in Sedalia, Colorado. And that website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Patrick Moore.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Patrick Moore. His new book, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. I would recommend everybody get that and have your high schoolers and your college kids read this, because it is so important to understand how you can engage in this battle of ideas out there. And as he's mentioned, it's so difficult to talk about something that is invisible or remote. And his book will help us with that. Patrick Moore, we have seen from the World Economic Forum that they basically want to get rid of Western civilization. And when you say that they don't want, that activists do not want humans to be burning things, that has really been the way that we stay warm, we cook our food. What I mean, this is not sustainable for everyday people, these particular policies, and we see that with what happened in Texas. People got hurt, and I cannot imagine the amount of mess and money that it's going to take to clean up the mess down there in Texas. Why this assault on people being able to heat their homes and power their lives?
Well, I some years ago I made the quip, not only do they want us to go back to living in caves, but we can't even have a fire to keep warm and cook our food with anymore. And this is, if you look into their policies, they are against all fossil fuels, which is burning oil, gas, and coal. They are against burning wood. They are against burning garbage. They are just plain against fire. And human beings began using fire 500,000 years ago or something, and have been using it ever since fire is actually the main reason, along with shelter and clothing. But inside a shelter in a cold climate, you need fire in there. So the shelter's not much good unless you have fire. And the clothing is just for keeping your body warm from the elements. You do need shelter and fire along with it. Fire being sort of central to it. That's the only reason that human beings were able to come out of Africa. People forget, with all this scare story about it getting too hot, that humans evolved at the equator. And they did that for tens of thousands of years until not very long ago, in evolutionary time, people came out of Africa into the colder climates. And they couldn't do that if it weren't for fire, shelter, and clothing. And people should just, that one fact should get people to realize that they're being sold a bill of goods about the Earth getting too hot for life. And interestingly, the Earth is warming up very slightly now for the last 300 years, but it's just a coincidence or a correlation that the temperature and the CO2 are going up at the same time for the last 150 years. These people want you to believe that the Earth began in 1850 or something, when in fact there were a few years before that when the climate was changing as well. And if you look far back into history, you will realize that CO2 and temperature are very seldom correlated. They are usually out of sync in the long-term history. They don't want you to know that, but it is a fact that there is no absolute proof that CO2 is the cause of any of the warming that has occurred since the peak of the Little Ice Age in 1700. That's when it started warming again, and it warmed from 1700 to 1850 before humans even began to put significant CO2 into the atmosphere, and it's kept warming at approximately the same rate since 1850 until today. There is nothing unusual about what is happening in the weather. I would bet you that during the last 5,000 years, there have been other events like the one that happened in Texas, where Arctic air came inordinately further south than it normally does because of the jet stream. The jet stream is not a perfect circle. It ferries all over the place, up and down, and sometimes it allows Arctic air to break out into the more southern regions. It's been happening since the beginning of the Pleistocene Ice Age. That's another thing. People think the Ice Age is over. The last glaciation, or I should say the most recent glaciation, was only one of more than 40 that have occurred during the 2.5 million year long Pleistocene Ice Age that the climate of Earth descended into, coming out of the 50 million year ago Eocene thermal maximum, when there was no ice on either pole, and actually there was no ice on Antarctica until about 20 million years ago, and no ice in the Arctic until about 3 million years ago. This is a recent thing in geological time, this Pleistocene Ice Age. We are in a cold period of the climate, and CO2 has descended to one of the lowest levels in history, perhaps the lowest level in the history of the world, during this era of the Pleistocene Ice Age. People need to read my book, because it's all there very clearly. There's 100 color plates in the book. I didn't chintz on the book and make it cheap, but as a Kindle, color doesn't cost any more. So if you're okay with reading your book on your iPad or on your laptop or even on your phone, then there it is for everybody to look at with color plates that illustrate the book very well on all these points.
It sounds like a really important book. I actually like to have the real book, but it is Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. We have just about a minute and a half left. Patrick Moore, what's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Well, I'd just like to say that it's good that you, Kim, and other people I'm talking to now are keeping the fire of freedom alive, because we are in a very dangerous time here. If the United States is susceptible to this kind of anti-freedom, anti-individual, and race politics, and all this stuff that's going on, and all these riots that occurred, and now they've got razor wire around the capital of the country, and opening up the southern border to anybody who wants to come in. So we're in a tough spot here and need to figure out how to get back out of it and get the country back to a situation that respects individual rights and freedoms of speech and on and on and on, and stops believing the scare stories that are being used to make people cower in fear of the future, and especially our children. Our children should not be afraid of the world in the future. The future can be bright as long as we have hope instead of fear.
Oh, very well said. Patrick Moore, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I would highly recommend this book, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. So let's stay in touch.
Thank you, Kim. I'd come on anytime.
Okay. And that was Patrick Moore. And my friends, our quote for today is at the end of the show is Benjamin Franklin. And he says, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. So, my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Remember, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.